I hope I have with me on the phone Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan.
Oh, loud and clear.
Beautiful.
That's good.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Baruch Hashem. Thank God.
So today we're going to discuss Parshat Shavua.
That's right. This week's Torah portion is Parshat Terumah. And, you know, the people of Israel are called upon to contribute 13 materials, gold and silver and copper and blue and purple and different types of dyes and animal skins and wood and olive oil and spices. And out of that, which God says to Moses, they shall make for me a sanctuary and I shall dwell amidst them. And then obviously at the summit of Mount Sinai, Moses is given detailed instructions on how to construct this dwelling place for God, and how it is going to be rapidly dismantled, transported, reassembled, because that is what's going to journey with the Jewish people in the desert. And you know, it was made with gold and wood, and the inside was it contained the ark, and then it was also made out of the menorah and the showbread, so on and so forth. So that was the story, really, of this week's Torah portion, talking about the sanctuary, the way that it was supposed to be done. Now, if we think about it, in the beginning of Genesis, in the beginning of Bereshit, the Hebrew Bible, the Torah, devotes really 31 verses to describe how God created the entire world. You know, in the beginning, God created heavens and earth. And in striking contrast, in this week's Torah portion, and last week and the week that's going to be coming up afterwards, devotes 371 verses to describe how the Jews created the tabernacle, the Mishkan, in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
And now this seems very, very strange. Because if we think about it, the universe, the world spans, I think, if I remember reading somewhere correctly, so like 176 trillion billion miles. And not only the great, vast, sheer amount of space that there is, it's incredibly complex. It's a complex structure. And even after so many years of research, we have not even yet scratched the surface of its untold depth and unbound mysteries. You know, we have not even mastered the secrets embedding in a single cell. And the tabernacle, on the other hand, we know was 150 feet long, 75 feet wide, and was a very highly impressive structure.
Yeah.
But essentially, a small tent, a mini mobile shtiebel, if you think about it. So the question is, why would the Torah be so expansive about the creation of a humble, you know, all by it, little tent in the desert, and yet about the creation of the cosmos with all its infinite depth, you know, majesty and greatness, 31 verses for the creation of the world, and almost a half a book of Exodus for the creation of a mobile sanctuary. And I think this is a very perplexing question, and there's a very, very important lesson that God is teaching us in this itself. Now, if we think about it, this strange contrast conveys something really very important about the Torah's perspective on life. You know, for the infinite God, which God is infinite, to create a home for a finite man is not a big deal. God can create anything. They create a little home, chick chuck, boom, boom, there we go. But for a finite man, for us, to create a home for the infinite God, that is a revolutionary concept. It constitutes the essential revolution, you know, of Judaism that really puts the pieces of our hearts together when we construct a home for God, for the divine spiritual aspects of Hashem. That the ordinary stuff of human life can be carved into a dwelling place for God. That God craves. Not only he craves to dwell in the space we designate for him in the barren desert of human consciousness. And You know, the creation of the universe is God's miracle. The miracle of converting energy into matter, creation of a structure, the house in a desert is a man's miracle. The miracle of converting matter into energy, the wonder of a human being surpassing himself, transcending anything that's going to egocentric, anything that is going to turn his life into a home for the divine, the story is deserving close to 400 verses. It only makes sense when God goes and takes something spiritual and creates it into something physical. Okay, it's not, it's a miracle, but it's not that God can do anything. But for us to be able to take something that is finite and create it into something infinite, regardless of what we think of our ego, of our challenges, of our who we are, what we believe in, that is a huge miracle. That deserves many more verses than 400. And this is the essence, I think, of the tabernacle story, which really occupies majority of the book, and on the surface seems, I think, remote from our present lifestyle. That a human being, through his or her minute and limited deeds, through the limits of words and thoughts, can create a home for God in their daily life. That a frail and vulnerable human being is capable of creating a space in their life for the living presence of God. This is a miracle of Torah. This is something that is so amazing to be able to realize that. And another thing, which we started talking about, which it says that it was that the Mishkan, the tabernacle, was made out of many different aspects, and was made out of different measurements of screws and this and that, all in half.
Lots of engineering and architecture.
Oh yeah, absolutely, and a lot of in half measures. You know, if you think about it, the story of the tabernacle, number one, the obsession with details that seem irrelevant. God seems overly concerned, you know, as he's telling Moses how to create it with pegs and nails and beams and hooks and drapes and curtains and bows. Who cares? And number two, most of the measurements are half sizes, not whole ones. Take chasi ama like this, a half a like that, a half a screw like that, a half a curtain like that.
Yeah, go and find a ruler on those days.
Exactly, in the desert, right? And the question is, why not wholesome measurement? Why shouldn't you say, take one screw, take a measurement that's 1 foot long? Why do you think 3/4, a half? What's the purpose? And I think this captures the essence of what we're trying to say, is that our lives are defined by details. And most of them, we think, seem mundane. And we always do things in half, you know, we're never complete. That there's always, you know, we always leave something at work to do. I'll do it tomorrow. No man dies, as the expression goes in the Medrash, no man dies with half of his ambition fulfilled. So I think this is the message of the story, that our disjointed and fragmented lives, the many diverse details of our mundane life, can all become a home for an absolute and undefined reality of God. If we're willing to make it a tabernacle, if we're willing to make in ourselves a mishkan, then all our halves, all our quarters, everything that we have in our lives will be able to come one as one sanctuary dwelling place for God. That takes a lot of work. Those are big miracles that have to happen. And that, if you think about, is well worthy of having a half a book of Exodus being written about it, how the tabernacle should be written, versus the creation of the world. The creation of the world was something God did, a finite, an infinite to a finite. We're doing from something that's physical, finite, measured, something that's infinite, that is beyond our imagination. And God gives us the ability to be able to do that. So when we look in our lives, take everything, a half, a quarter, whatever it may be in our lives, bring them together, knowing that when we put it together and we serve God with our full heart, everything will be one. And that will be the ultimate oneness that we can bring godliness into our world.
That's nice. Rabbi, you want to tell us about services in Shaarei Tzedek Shamayim?
We have services Friday evening, 5:45. And Shabbat morning is at 9:30, followed by Sunday is at 8:15, and followed by breakfast, and Monday and Thursday is at the Parrot's House at 7:15. And, you know, I don't know if people know or don't know, but a very an amazing man in our community died yesterday, Adam yeah. Friedland. And I know the funeral is tomorrow at 1 o'clock at the Rachel Kaplan. I think it's a befitting that whoever knows him comes and pays the last respects to him.
A dear, and, dear man.
Yeah, an absolute gem of a person, very kind, very...
Always smiling.
Amazing.
Yeah.
We should only know of happiness from now on.
Yeah. God willing.
Yes, God willing.
So, Rabbi, thank you, and I want to wish you Shabbat Shalom.
You too.
And we'll talk next week.
Yep. God willing. See you well.
Thank you
again. Okay. Bye-bye.